Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. Today is part four of our four affirmations that Danielle has taught us about finances, and we're going to get into that fourth one today. Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Happy New Year, Eric.
Happy New Year. Yeah, this is good stuff.
So this is a great way to start the year.
I think so.
And I'm going to start with a question for you.
All right.
What area of your financial life did you experience your version of success in 2018? And what would you like to continue to build on this year?
Well, me personally, started to work with a couple different companies in 2018 that really kind of changed the direction of what I had been doing and kind of broadened my horizons a little bit, which I'm very excited about. And so it's brought some new income opportunities to us. And so in 2019, my wife and I are really focusing on getting ourselves out of debt. We have the mortgage and a few other things that we need to get paid off and would really like to establish a much firmer foundation for us in the future.
That sounds like a great way, a great intention for the new year. So you are bringing money into your life with integrity, competency, dignity, grace, and joy.
As best I can. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Notice I didn't ask you, what do you resolve to not do in your financial life?
Yep.
You know, I think so many times we start our new year to say, oh, I resolve that I'm not going to eat at fast food restaurants anymore, or I resolve not to spend so much money. And it's about what we're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of having the financial affirmations and keeping everything in a positive context is to not focus on poor behavior, but to build on belief systems and attitudes and behaviors that are working for us. And I think we get more momentum and more energy and more excitement and possibilities when you do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that we're going to review these affirmations here in just a moment. We're going to begin the process of talking about number four. But before we do that, in case there's some folks that are just joining us, that this is their first podcast listening to you, can you please remind everybody, why do we need to be saying these affirmations, or why are these affirmations so important?
Well, I think no matter what season of life you're in, lots of people out there want to learn and grow. And as I've worked with clients that are moving towards that retirement or fall season of life, having a positive perspective on your financial world is absolutely paramount, because we have a world that comes towards us with a lot of shame and guilt and what it should look like. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's important that we look at affirmations and the benefit of them, as it opens us up to possibilities. It opens us up to our potential. And as I walk alongside clients, I want them to live in their full life potential, and making sure that their financial components that play into that are working as best as possible. So it opens up the possibilities. I also think that positive affirmations, Dr. Daniel Amen talks about killing the ants, that automatic negative thoughts are circuitry in our head that over a lifetime builds up with a lot of negativity. And I think we have to actively combat that. I think it's an active, everyday, intentional choice to choose a different way of thinking, to choose different behaviors, to choose different attitudes. And we need to kill those ants continuously. Mm-hmm. This helps us to create those new belief systems And if we believe that we are capable of living in our potential and that we are living a healthy financial life, that is going to change our attitudes. It's going to help us move to a attitude of gratitude where we can be thankful for what we have, which frees us up to make different choices, and our behaviors are going to change over time. You know, so it's contextual around making the different financial choices, whether it's, you know, in a variety of things. And today we're going to talk about spending choices, but it's also the feelings that go with it. So I think it's real important for us to keep positive affirmations, whether it's in our health, our relationships, our financial life, in front of us every day.
All right. Do you mind if I review them real quick?
Would love to hear them again.
All right. We'll start at the top. We're dealing with number four today, but I'm going to read the other three for those that are just joining us, or just to remind everybody else what those were. Number one, I am receiving money with integrity, competency, dignity, grace, and joy. Number two is I am sharing my financial resources with moxie and momentum. Number three, I am growing, protecting, and nurturing my financial life with diligence, wisdom, and care. And if you did not hear that last podcast, it was fantastic. So please go back and listen to that one and the other two as well. But that's the one we just spoke about. And today we're going to be covering, I am spending my money within safe boundaries and joyful intention. So today we're talking about spending, right? And that's what everybody likes to do.
Yeah,
actually, listening to this, most people are thinking, I just spent a bunch during the holidays. Please stop talking about spending. But this is exactly why we need to talk about it.
Exactly. And personally, this has been my most challenging area over my life, is in the area of spending. And in my book, I talk about purchasing personalities. Mm-hmm. Let's dig into those a little bit. And everybody, I'd just like you to consider, if you would consider yourself, when you make purchasing decisions, are you cheap? Are you frugal? Are you grandiose? Are you intentional? To expound on a little bit, cheap is when you make a decision to buy on price point, you know, just buy low quality items, and you just buy it because it's inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Frugal, I think of it as more as avoiding waste. It might involve a little, you know, less expense, but it's thinking through the decision a little bit more, maybe not buying as much, being very possibly thoughtful and avoiding waste. Grandiose is an ego purchase, maybe made to impress, or buying for a label just for its own sake. And intentional is about purchasing quality when it reflects your personal values and the items that will endure over time. It is mindful spending. It's not just pushing a button to make a, you know, ill thought out purchase. Mm-hmm. For myself, most people would think, if spending has been your issue, you've had some credit card debt in the past, or maybe made too many spending choices. And that isn't my situation. I was quite the opposite. I was one that didn't spend any money, or I would buy based on price point only. And I would buy it if it was on sale. I might not need it, but it was cheap. So I bought it, and it's especially played out at the grocery store. And I really had to take a look at where that message came from. And I was recently helping my mom clean out her closet, and the woman has 20 pairs of different black pants from the thrift store. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know where it came from.
Yeah.
You just buy because it's cheap. And well, it was $1.50. I couldn't help myself. But
you don't want to miss out, right? I mean, that's kind of the bottom line on a lot of those sale things. It's like, oh, it's on sale. I don't want to miss the sale. But if you really think about it, I don't need it, but I just don't want to miss the sale.
Exactly. And I think this is another big one that has bugged me over the years. When something is on sale, they say, you saved 50%. No, you didn't. You did not save a dime.
Yeah.
You spent less. But did you even need to make that spending choice? So for myself, I've had to work very hard over the years to move towards that intentional, mindful spending and ask myself a lot of questions. One of them that I ask is, just because I can, should I? I think that's a really important one. Mm-hmm. As you know, especially for folks that are moving into the retirement season, rewirement season, they may have built up wealth over time and they have extra at this point in their life. Mm-hmm. And they think, you know, well, it's mine. I've earned it. I can spend it any way I want. But I think we need to ask ourselves the question, just because we can, should we?
Yeah, no, and that's a great question to ask, and we don't ask ourselves that enough. And so I guess that kind of leads to my question to you is, when you're talking about safe boundaries in this affirmation, I'm spending my money within safe boundaries, what does that mean? What are those safe boundaries?
I think that's a real important question for people to ask themselves. To me, it is more, we've heard, you want to live within your means or spend less than you earn. And as you are in your rewirement season, you may be on more of a fixed income. You know what is coming in from Social Security. You've got a pension. You've discerned what kind of a drawdown rate on your IRAs or your 401ks can you make. You may have investment real estate that is producing income. So you may know what is your financial safe boundary of living within your means. But I think it is also about looking at the impact of our spending decisions, not only on our own lives, but for the sustainability of the planet. So you may consider a safe boundary as, wow, if I make a spending choice, am I creating waste? Mm. Am I making a decision and not thinking it through about the long-term impact of that? So for me personally, when I look at safe boundaries, it's not only about, you know, what is the amount of money I have in my life that I have to make financial decisions on, but what is the impact of that spending choice, not only down the road, but you know, how's that going to impact my children or my grandchildren, or, you know, the amount of plastic in the ocean, or, you know, our.
No, it's a great point. I have struggled, and it just drives me bananas, honestly, to go. It's the third drawer down in my kitchen next to my sink. That's where I have my Ziploc bags, right? That's where I've got those sandwich baggies or the gallon Ziplocs or whatever, and nothing against Ziploc, good company, blah, blah, blah. I personally know that I put something in there, and when it's done, I throw that bag away. I don't like that. I hate that because I think, okay, I'm one person. How many of these do I go through? And the smaller, thinner bags are just impossible to wash, and I end up throwing them away. I hate that. So we've got a vacuum sealer thing, and I'm being more intentional about using that so that I don't have to throw that small amount of plastic away. But I know that all the plastic that I do throw away is just too much. So I get that. I mean, that makes sense for a boundary.
Right. And there's I love innovation nowadays. There's new products out there mm-hmm. that are recreating the plastic bags. They're made out of hemp, or they're made out of materials, cornstarch that they dissolve over time. Or, you know, so I think people need to do their homework. We need to look at what's working, what's not working. But defining what your safe boundaries are, to me, is much more than just the quantitative element of knowing what financial aspects, but it's looking at those long-term impacts of your decisions.
Danielle, using the example that I talked to you about my Ziploc bag problem, I know that one option is like that vacuum sealer thing, but those machines can be kind of expensive, right? It's great. It's wonderful. I love it. I love using it. I feel like I'm making a difference when I am able to reuse things over and over. It's kind of a bit of an expensive investment. So for the folks that are on fixed incomes, they may not be able to go out and make a purchase like that to make that change. What about them with safe boundaries and how they can change?
I think with folks that may have more the constraints on their income, mm-hmm. I look at safe boundaries as more about your attitudes and what are you focusing on with your mindset? And this is how we can shift over into capturing thoughts that are not serving us and maybe more of an attitude of gratitude. And I think this is one of the biggest struggles that people have around money, is because our world is coming at us and telling us what we should look like, what retirement you're supposed to be, sailing off into the sunset with a cocktail in hand, dressed in white linen, and people are left feeling guilty and bummed out that their life doesn't look like that. Well, that is not necessarily a picture of financial or true wealth in somebody's life. You look at your attitude and you just look at what is really, really important to me and what is my perspective on what I have. If I can be grateful, and I've traveled to a lot of third world countries and I have seen people who are incredibly generous and incredibly kind and incredibly happy, and they live on very little.
Absolutely.
And I feel that maybe sometimes our safe boundaries are just around our attitudes about what is true wealth in our life, and to shift more towards a daily decision to be grateful for what we have and live in a abundance mindset instead of that scarcity mindset of, well, I don't have what the neighbor next door has, or I don't have what the media is telling me my retirement should look like. And capturing that and that automatic negative thought and squashing it and saying, I so appreciate being able to go outside today and to make the decisions around the limited, you know, the income that I do have. And I'm going to make wise decisions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I had a wonderful opportunity when I was in high school to go down to Argentina and Paraguay, Brazil. And while we were in Argentina, we were invited to host families' homes, and they would have dinner for us. And so two of us would go and spend time with them. And I remember getting to this house, and it was made of cinder block, and it had a tin roof on it, and went in, and the floor was just, it was interesting. I had never seen anything like it. It was super shiny and beautiful. And she had so much pride in her home, and they had very little. The young boy was there. He showed us his TV. They had a TV. So that was, you know, that was kind of their, his pride.
Yeah.
It was his pride and joy, you know, as a young man. I think he was probably around 12. And then we sat down and they invited us to eat with them and break bread with them. And it was an amazing meal. And that floor, Danielle, was dirt. It was a dirt floor that she had swept and swept and swept to the point where it was shiny. And I didn't realize it till I was really looking closely. It wasn't tile. It wasn't anything. And I felt so ashamed of how I felt in high school in the United States. I grew up in Washington State. And just knowing that they were so happy and so willing to share what they had, as little as they had, they were willing to share it with us, and how selfish I felt for just, you know, being concerned about what brand of jeans I was wearing at the time. And was that going to fit in with, you know, would somebody make fun of me at school because I had, you know, Sears brand or, you know, whatever compared to Levi's or whatnot. And it was a real eye opener for me. So I know everybody not everyone has that epiphany moment or can have that by going to a third world country like you did and like I did at that point. But being able just to find the joy and have that appreciation for running water and things that they have in their life, even if they are on that fixed income or they don't have the finances that retirement shows us we should have on that boat and white linen. I think you're right. It's a completely different mindset, and it's very, very important, which kind of leads us to the next piece of this. We've talked about the safe boundaries. The last part of the affirmation is joyful intention. So what about spending with joyful intention?
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
If you've looked and defined your own personal safe boundaries, and I live in the mountains of Colorado and we ski, and I look at safe boundaries. If you are skiing within the boundaries, you can really enjoy it. You know what your ski level is, you know what you feel safe with, and you can have an amazing day if you stay within the boundaries. If you go outside the boundaries, if you go under the ropes and get into an avalanche area or start skiing in a place that has been shut down for a reason, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so that joyful spending decisions, that joyful intention is based on the fact that within those safe boundaries, you're going to have a good time. You're going to really enjoy life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it is defining your safe boundaries about how much is enough for yourself and how you want to prepare your heirs and not be a burden on your heirs, you know, your family down the road, you know, all of those things, then your spending decisions, you can look and discern, is this a soul need or is this an ego desire? And have I weighed the impacts of this decision? And is it bringing joy to my life? Mm. I know I personally do not want to get to the end of the month and get my credit card bill that I can't pay off and lament on, you know, why did we go out to dinner? You know, we went out because I just didn't feel like cooking dinner that night. And it was, you know, we make decisions and we don't really think them through. So we don't want to get to the end of our month and wondering how we're going to pay for the mm-hmm. credit card bill. We want to go out for dinner and really, really enjoy it. We may only do it once a month. We may only do it, you know, once a week. Yeah, I don't know what your safe boundaries are, but everybody needs to look at those.
Yeah, absolutely. And even on fixed budgets, even people that don't have that quote unquote ideal retirement, when you look at the fact that you're going to have to eat a meal anyway, I'm going to go back to the story from Argentina. You have to eat anyway. You're going to spend money on groceries anyway. It just would cost maybe a little extra to have a little extra food and invite some friends over. I mean, what a great way to spend an evening entertaining guests, whether they're in your neighborhood or from your church or from the club that you've joined, or, you know, wherever you're connecting with people, bring them over for an evening. And that's an evening well spent. And exactly. And that's joyful, right? I mean, you're having joy in that. So, and it doesn't cost much to do that.
Well, and that's the idea with that is that you value relationships. So you want to make your spending decisions based on your core values. Mm-hmm. So that example that you just gave is I value relationship. And if you value relationship and your money is a flow of your intention and a flow of your values, you could choose, yeah, I'm just going to invite my friends. We're going to go out to eat. And at the end of the month, I've got a credit card bill and go, well, it really wasn't that fun because I can't pay the credit card bill.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to build relationships by having a potluck and playing games at home.
Absolutely.
And enjoying the evening. And that's where that conscious financial decision, that intentional, mindful, thought out, whether it is buying groceries or getting online and making a decision about this item or, you know, piece of clothing or whatever it is, to just think it through a little bit. When I talk about the difference between a soul need and an ego desire, people go, oh, wow, you're getting esoteric here. But I think we've all heard, is it a need or a want? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of the back to that quantitative. Well, yeah. I just want it. I'm just going to get it now. I think that idea of a soul need. I've had clients that one in particular that this gal was she had somewhat of a limited income. And she had an opportunity to go to India and to spend some time at a monastery. And I looked at the spending plan and it was pretty tight to be able to do this. And we really talked it through as to what kind of choices she would need to make. If she wanted to do this, then that is going to change some of the other decisions that she needs to make over the next month. But it was a soul need. She goes, I need to do this to feed my soul. I need this to heal. Mm-hmm. She'd been through a divorce. And as a financial advisor, my job is not to, you know, again, judge you and define what you should or should not be spending your money on. It is for me to help you uncover what are these soul needs, and then how are we going to help you have it happen? Mm-hmm. But if we're making our spending decisions based on, I need to get this type of car because my, you know, the people in my neighborhood drive this, and it's more of an ego desire.
Yeah.
I think it leaves us feeling unfulfilled. And I'll challenge you on that. Again, it's not my, if you need to make that decision and have it play out, you know, go right ahead. But I want to challenge people to think, is this a spending choice that is going to bring me joy, that is based on my values, my soul needs, or am I making this decision? Am I pushing this button on the computer to either create an experience or buy something that is just feeding my ego?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's perfect. That makes a lot of sense. And the nice thing is you're there to tell them the impact of their decision, whether it's a soul need, a selfish need, a want, a desire that's frivolous, or a desire that's actually a true desire that is also needed. You can tell them the positive and negative of that situation to still allow them to make the decision and be there to guide them in just that thought process. And everybody needs that.
Right. I think, you know, again, I'm in this business, so I deal with it every day and it's right in front of me. And as I've worked with clients throughout the years, they make a variety of decisions. And I come about it from, you know, I do not judge. We are each on our own journey. And my job as a financial life advisor is to educate you as to your options, to show you the financial context of how that decision may play out down the road. If I have people who feel they're making spending choices in their retirement years and they have limited resources, and I'm saying, boy, your safe boundaries, you are swimming outside the safe boundaries, I can show you what this drawdown rate, you continue spending at this rate, and you're going to be running out of money. Mm-hmm. And we can't, you know, get you into an aggressive portfolio right now because that's taking on too much volatility in the market. Absolutely. Given our current market environment or current economic season. We can play all of this out, but the behavior is going to be based on your belief systems, on your attitudes, on making sure that you have somebody walk you through, you know, these choices and help you to feel good about, you know, the decisions you're making one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And Danielle, I know that you've spoken about it on this podcast before. And for everybody listening, Danielle has some great resources. One of the resources is these four affirmations are on the website. And I'm going to ask her to give you that website address so you can go download that for yourself. Also, Danielle, I know you have the e-course that's can help people learn a lot of this stuff. Can you give us that information so they have it?
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's really important that you find an advocate to walk alongside you. And for many people, you know, thinking about going and hiring a financial advisor can be a little, whether it's intimidating or just the time element. So one of the things that we decided would be a benefit for folks is to create an 8-week course that will walk them through all these different aspects of your retirement season. You know, what is this vision of your true wealth? What are all the financial pieces? How to use them wisely? And that's available now at www.daniellehoward4u.com. I think it's a way for people to access a really deep, broad perspective on this time of life and how to make the most out of it in a very affordable way. Mm-hmm. Our financial affirmations are available again at that DanielleHoward4u.com. We have it in a format that you can print out. It's 2 per page, so you can print out one for yourself, put it on your mirror in the morning, hand one to a spouse or a friend so you can help each other.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
How's this working for you? How are your belief systems? What behaviors? You know, and let's start talking about this. If you feel that you are ready for a personal journey of financial health and more of an individualized approach, you can give us a call at 970-927-3909 or check out The Journey of Financial Health at www.wealthbydesign4u.com. So a variety of ways that we can walk alongside you in looking at how to create a healthy financial life in this fall rewirement, refirement, retirement season of life.
Awesome, awesome. And for those of you listening, if you have ever read anything about successful sports stars, they all say that they had a coach in their life that coaches them. They all have coaches that currently coach them to make them the best they are. Even the best of the best have to have somebody walking beside them. So it's an accountability partner. It's somebody that to make you think outside the box or ask you those questions that you need to be asked and then hold you accountable to the decisions that you're making. And that's exactly what Danielle is to her clients. She walks beside them, does not push them, does not walk in front of them to clear the way, walks right beside them to help guide them and ask those questions that need to be asked. So if you know that that's true, that every successful person has found somebody to be an accountability partner and walk with them, then make that decision, make the phone call or get into the e-course, sign up for that, download the affirmations and have a friend walk through it with you. You'll be greatly benefited and you won't regret it one bit. So again, thank you, Danielle, for all your time today.
Appreciate you, Eric.
You betcha. And thank you all for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast with Danielle Howard. If you have not subscribed to Danielle's podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family and that person that you're going to give that other copy of the affirmations to. And again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.